Welcome to the Grace Hour, our Christian program that takes a dive into our challenges, daily challenges, helps us to learn our faith in a practical way. One of the daily challenges we face in this world is how we obtain or gain wisdom. Mm-hmm. And Philippe Siragi is joining me today.
Yes, I am.
And we are going to be talking about that. The main focus of today's talk will be wisdom.
Yes.
So, Philippe, is wisdom a good thing to go after, or is there some sort of negative connotation to wisdom? What do you think?
What do I
think? Yeah, what do you think?
Well, you cut me off guard.
I was not prepared for that. I cut you off guard.
Wisdom is awesome if it's wisdom from above, because there is a wisdom from below.
Yes.
In the book of James, we see that, but yes. I mean, and again, if you haven't, you know, maybe your listeners haven't listened to the yesterday's broadcast was on who is wisdom, or maybe they define wisdom like in some way. But we're going to do it again a little bit just because we want to put emphasis on part of what we want to talk is. When you and I were talking about the words that we find in the book of Proverbs, for example, knowledge, understanding, you know, there's two ways to view it. There are some of they're interchangeable or they're not, but that's not really, that's beside the point. Mm-hmm. There's one word that does stand out, which is wisdom in the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
And we understand it mostly as being when you know something to be true, you live according to it. And that's wise. You know, I think I told you that famous, not really famous because not everybody knows it, but, you know, people say to express the difference between knowledge and wisdom is like knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit and wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad.
Yeah.
And that's the idea. Yes. So there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Yes.
And meaning by that is wisdom is knowing, you know, like if I go to the doctor and I know exactly what's wrong with me and I know exactly what I have to take, but I don't take the medicine, then that's not wisdom. Mm-hmm. I understand the knowledge, and the doctor can ask me, but why don't you take it? Did you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, I do. I just don't think it's relevant for me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. The wisdom will just think it's relevant. You know, it's, I don't know if you had that question in your family or friends that are not, maybe not believers. People tell me sometimes, I understand that you're Christian, but why do you go to church? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a misunderstanding of what wisdom is. Well, duh, like if God exists and if he is who the Bible says he is, then everything he says goes with his existence. You know, it's just like I believe in miracles because I believe that God exists. Otherwise, I wouldn't believe in miracles. It makes sense to me. So wisdom is not common sense, but it's having that common sense and also deciding to act on it. You know,
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So as you mentioned, there's two types of wisdom that we find in the Bible.
Yes.
James, the half brother of Christ, lays them out in chapter 3 of his letter.
Yes, he does.
So let's see. James chapter 3. It says there's a wisdom from below. The characteristics of that wisdom are that it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. However, the wisdom that is from above, in verse 17, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Yeah. Very big distinction between wisdom from above and wisdom from below. Now, you were just speaking to me about an article you read maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Could you go into that for a little bit just to maybe make this point or point out this difference here?
Yeah. Bible says, you know, we read the Proverbs, you learn a lot about wisdom. And one of the things you learn is that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that liberal rabbi, I couldn't remember if I heard it or read it from, actually. I would try to Google it, couldn't find it. But he said that the fear of the Lord is the end of wisdom. And by that, it means, which is wrong, we don't agree with that, but what that means that we need to value rationalism, we need to value, you know, intelligence and knowledge and all these things, which the Bible is not against that. There is room for this.
Sure.
Maybe we'll talk about this later. But we don't agree with what it means. But in a way, we agree with the idea that if I fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, which is the heavenly wisdom, it is automatically the end of our earthly
human
wisdom.
Human or earthly.
Yes,
yeah.
Because because now I don't think like Isaiah 55. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And by that, we means higher, meaning that's the wisdom from above, and mm-hmm. our lower thinking is the wisdom from below. And we tend, like, my soul clings to the dust, Psalm 119.
Yeah.
So my natural temperament, you know, is thinking from the ground. That's what I do. I come from the ground. I think from the ground. That's my natural disposition, you know, default position, you could say. Mm-hmm. And then from that, like, we need to be taken out of our earthly thinking, have a different perspective. Like, in English, you have this expression, like, having a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
And God, you know, and it goes on to Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2, you know, be slow to speak, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, eager to listen, because God is in heaven and you're on the earth. So, yeah. again, perspective. So God is not saying you guys are dumb, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, you can't live without me, you can even think, put two things together. You know, without me, it's not that. It's like we can't think like him mm-hmm. without him. Mm-hmm. I can think naturally without him, not a problem. And we know that from Genesis 3.
Yeah.
You know, so that's yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, you look like you want to say something interesting.
I don't. Okay. I was just listening intently. Okay. That was very good.
I can carry on if you
please,
want.
Please, okay. Hold on real quick. Madeline, good morning.
Good morning, Madeline.
Thank you for acknowledging our existence today. We appreciate you. Hey, if you're following along,
thank
please
you for
feel free.
Acknowledging our existence every time.
Every time every you time. Say good morning, you yes. are one of the kindest
we
listeners
you,
we have.
Madeline. When we grew up, we would only be like a Madeline. When I grew up, at least. Maybe you're already 6'5", so you don't want to grow up. But
I'm. Yeah, we're not going to. Yeah, I'm growing out. But man, anyway. I need to get back on track. Okay. Madeline, thank
what
you.
What is it that we're talking about?
If you are following along today.
It's a miracle.
Use wisdom. Keep us on track because yes. we get off track very yes. easily.
You can send us some comments. Guys, stay on track.
Yeah, feel free to say hello. Drop in the chat. Yes. YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Twitch Live, whatever. Whatever platforms we're on, please feel free to yes. to write in. Anyway. So you were talking about Genesis chapter 3.
Yes,
I find this like to be a very interesting illustration that yes. we can, like, it's a real event. It yes. took place historically.
Yes.
But it's also a really good illustration of wisdom from above versus wisdom from below.
Yes.
Do you want to get into that a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah. I mean, we, the point being is, okay, so it's one question I ask the students when I teach a class and you release to Genesis 3, maybe mostly when we do apologetics and talking about rationalism versus reasoning. Okay. Reasoning is something yeah. that God explains to us, that he gave us the capacity to think things through, to think intelligently. Our faith is intelligent. Most people think, oh, you believing God is dumb. Well, you know, the arguments, the evidence, you know, if you stop for a minute, it's out there is overwhelmingly mm-hmm. amazing. So I consider myself as somebody who thinks things through. I don't believe in God just because
sure.
I was told to.
Yeah.
So, but the point being is that, so when I ask the students, do you think that Adam and Eve discovered good and evil, you know, after they ate of the tree? 99% of the time, they'll tell you, oh, of course they did. You know, and I said, well, you're wrong, because they knew about good and evil before. Mm-hmm. They knew it was bad to eat of the tree, and mm-hmm. they knew if there were consequences, one of them, they would die, and they knew that death was wrong. So they had an understanding of, they had knowledge of good and evil,
yeah.
except that knowledge of good and evil came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decide from the tree by making that decision that they would get their own independent, autonomous view of what is right and what is wrong. Now you have competing views.
Yeah.
And you see that from the devil telling, you know, Adam and Eve, well, did God say? Or, you know, like he's challenging the idea. Well, hold, think for yourself. That would be one way. And that's what this guy, the rabbi I was mentioning earlier, mm-hmm. was encouraging. No, mm-hmm. what you need is rationalism, which is the ultimate authority is knowing anything is your own brain, mm-hmm. you know, and like whatever God's thoughts, whatever thoughts he has, is not really pertinent or relevant for us, you know. Mm-hmm. So the point that is interesting to me as it relates to wisdom is that in Genesis 3, they had wisdom from above mm-hmm. and then they opened the door for wisdom from below. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm thinking of this kind of strange illustration, but I think it goes well with where society is headed today with artificial intelligence and whatnot.
Yes.
Consider a computer program being created by a developer, mm-hmm. A coder, someone who is putting all of the necessary parameters into this software to make this program work. But the moment this program is uploaded into the computer, it doesn't recognize the fact that it knows all the things that it knows, or it can process all the things that it can process, because someone before it was ever there on that computer or on that driver, whatever, however you want to think about it, it has no memory of that person who created it. And I think a lot of times human beings, we are not computers. We are not being downloaded information per se, although a lot of people do try to download, like, you know, lots of things at a, you know, short amount of time in their brain. We have a God who created us, who gave us really simple parameters in the garden. Adam, you can eat of any of the trees of the garden, but not this one. And he's fine with that initially. But the devil comes in, the wisdom from below, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish, gets to him through his wife, Eve. Eve, look at that. It's good to eat. And like, Eve is immediately caught off guard and taken away from, you know, the outside programmer who created her. Yeah. Like, literally put Adam to sleep, pulled a rib out of him, and created her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have no recollection of what he said. And the devil even, like, conflates it further. Has God really said, like you said? Mm-hmm. It's just so simple to understand that our brains had to have been designed.
Yes.
And if they were designed, then the designer or the software developer or the coder or whatever would have some thoughts for us to consider as a baseline that allow us to operate in the parameters of this world today. Mm-hmm. But we very easily push that aside. Yeah. And that's when we start operating in the wisdom of our own intellect, of our own reasoning skills, of our own critical thinking. And for some reason, we just turn like a blind eye almost, just put this like little blockade between us and the one who created us.
Yeah.
And that's the that's why the very first characteristic of wisdom from above is purity.
Yes.
Because this purity of God's wisdom breaks through that barrier through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And fills us with his mind, with his thoughts. Let this mind be in you, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The mind of Christ. I don't know. Just a weird illustration, but I think it makes sense a little bit.
I think it does. When you think about AI, and it's interesting because there's this paradox. I don't know if people, you know, when I was younger, I was a fan of, you know, like the science fiction, the way it was, you know, back maybe like in the early 50s until the early 80s. I used to read Isaac Asimov and all these guys, you know, which actually for me was, science fiction was like possible development of science in the future. So it was more interesting than having some monster with three heads. They are more like, you know, like this movie that came out again, Dune and other places. You know, so there's all the philosophical ideas behind it. Mm-hmm. But Asimov and others, they would just develop fiction, science fiction that would actually look into artificial intelligence and its possible philosophical and ethical implications. But what's amazing about this is that when you look at artificial intelligence, like the most famous one that everybody discovered, oh, it's working or it's existing, is the famous ChatGPT.
Yep.
What most people realize is when you use it, you actually have develop it, but you don't develop ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You're actually allowing the developers of ChatGPT to realize if their algorithm work. Mm-hmm. Like if you know anything about computer science or computer programming, it's an algorithm that leads to a program, and these are, you know, so. And then if you want an AI to learn something, you have to teach it how to learn something. Mm-hmm. It's not an intelligence at all. It's artificial for sure. It's not intelligence at all. Mm-hmm. It's as intelligent as the programmer decided it would be. Mm-hmm. It's not going to become all of a sudden super intelligent by itself.
Right.
It can't. Yeah. So, I mean, even so, some people are saying, well, one day it would, but it's still a science fiction. But the point being is that it's the same for us. It applies completely. Like, I think, you know, one of my favorite, you know, apologists that I studied when I was, you know, in seminary was Cornelius Van Til. And one way he explained that the only way to understand properly man's position, you know, versus God's position when it comes to knowledge and wisdom, he says two things. Number one is, for us to be able to argue against God, we have to use the reason that he gave us.
Right.
So he illustrated that he was on a train one day, and he saw a dad with his daughter on his lap. She turned and as for fun, she slapped him, you know. And he said, this is us with God. Like, the only reason why we could slap God on the face is because he has on his lap. Mm-hmm. If we wouldn't be, you know, so it says, and that's one number one. It says the consequences of that. Yes, exactly. The consequences of that was, he said, the only way for us to understand is that it's like we are thinking God's thoughts after him. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no original thought. You know, so it was interesting with AI. That's the idea, right?
Yeah.
So, how arrogant are we to think that we can develop our own ethical systems, our own wisdom, And then when we don't have any bird's eye view.
Yeah.
This is like, if you and I were trying to solve, you know, the conflict in Israel and Palestine, that's exactly what it is. You know, we don't know anything about it. You're not a diplomat. I'm not a diplomat. I know what I read about it. But here we are. Oh, what they should do. Okay, let me take a map. Let's divide it in two. You guys live over here. You guys live over here. You guys close.
Yeah.
And then people look at us like, you guys are ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, and that's exactly how God feels. I'm sure when he looks at us sometimes. No, this is the wisdom that I'm talking about, you know. And then the first thing is the fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not the fear as we're afraid of him. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what. So this opened the Pandora box that was opened by Eve, you know, by eating of the tree. That's what we're talking about. Now we need to go back to a situation that God intended for us, mm-hmm. which is thinking his thoughts after him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen. We absolutely do.
We have a hello from Oretta. So nice to hear from you as well.
Yeah, thank you, Aurelia. Mm-hmm. Thank you for commenting in. Mm-hmm. So Proverbs chapter 8 and 9 speak extensively about wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Again, also Proverbs 24 speaks about wisdom. I mean, the whole book of Proverbs, it's literally one of the wisdom books in the Bible.
It is the wisdom.
So it is the. So when you read through this stuff, you're looking and you're starting to see the difference between wisdom and knowledge.
Yes.
So is knowledge good? Is knowledge important? 100%. Knowledge is very helpful. Those who live and believe by the motto "knowledge is power," I would worry about what their intentions are with that. But knowledge really does. It says this in Proverbs 24. I don't want to ramble, so I'll just say what the Bible says. Proverbs 24 says, through wisdom, this is verse 3, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Adam and Eve had the knowledge not to eat of the tree.
Yes.
But what they did not have, or what they lacked in the moment with the devil's influence, was the wisdom to not eat of the tree.
Yes.
Wisdom is taking the knowledge that you have and applying it accordingly with the truth. So we consider the truth to be God's word. We consider God's word to be full of grace, full of truth, Jesus Christ, full of gracious truth, maybe in some translations. We consider that truth to be the knowledge that we can fill ourselves with, and then our actions following suit, being able to obey that knowledge, being able to understand the truth, take it in and live by it. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. So the writer here, most likely Solomon, Proverbs 24, most likely mm-hmm. Solomon, mm-hmm. he's saying the chambers of your house are filled with knowledge. You actually need mm-hmm. to take in the word of God. You need to take in different studies of science, different mathematics, English, literature, whatever. You need to take it all in. And then go to God with it and ask him to help you apply it in mm. your life. Because if we don't do that, we're just like the men in, is it 1 Timothy 3 or 2 Timothy 3? We're the men who are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge.
So I would say first.
I think it's 1 Timothy 3.
I'm gonna vote first.
All right, Philippe's voting for first. All those taking
my
a poll online. It's
I knew it.
1 Timothy 3 is talking about a bishop, talking about the role of the pastor. Verse 7.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3, verse 7. If we're just heaping knowledge unto ourselves, we are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
The knowledge of the truth is like very similar to the idea of wisdom, being able to apply what Jesus says into our own lives and walk in that.
Yes.
That's why Ephesians chapter 4 fills us with knowledge and truth in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 before it ever says to walk in chapters 4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
We gain it, we fill the chambers of our house, and then we're able to apply it and walk in our lives in wisdom.
And what I like about 2 Timothy 3 is knowledge of truth. You can come to knowledge. And there's things you can know. So I teach this class for the seniors at, you know, high school, 2 hours a week. We're having conversations, you know, we discuss all kinds of things, and one of them is, you know, critical thinking. And we say, you know, about the ideas that there's a difference between knowledge and intelligence. And knowledge is the capacity to know facts, and knowledge is the capacity to process those facts. Mm-hmm. Are they true? Are they false? Where did they come from? We talk about, you know, what we call confirmation biases and all kinds of things that show how easy it is, you know, for people to be. It would be a fun challenge. Like someday you look at statistics and diagrams. They're all over the place. Everybody tells you by diagrams, you know, charts, how, you know, they want to defend something. Now, there's a simple way, and I told them there's a simple way to know if a chart is actually biased or unbiased. Mm-hmm. Is that if your x-axis starts with zero, if it doesn't. If it starts with a zero, it would be unbiased. If it doesn't start with a zero, it's mostly biased. Mm-hmm. And so we went through and looked up all kinds of things in the internet, and the vast amount of charts that has numbers that doesn't start with a zero is amazing. Because if I want to manipulate numbers, I would not, you know, so...
Yes.
The point being is that, you know,
statistically
it's very easy to manipulate facts. And the intelligence is the fact that the capacity we have to process those facts. Mm-hmm. And I think this is exactly what wisdom is, because now when I reach the ceiling of my rational capacities, there's something beyond. Like, we had a staff meeting this morning at our church, and we're listening to the role of admin versus the role of vision. I love, it's a very dear topic to me. And I think sometimes we you know, like it's, the admin is the logistics of a vision that makes possible. But when mm-hmm. we lead through logistics only, and then there is no room for faith, there is no room for God and miracles in what we do as a ministry. Mm-hmm. And that's a big mistake. It's the same thing with the knowledge. Oh, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I love people based on the fact that they're lovable or not. That's my natural temperament. Mm-hmm. And I project that on God. And when I read the Bible and it says, I love you with an everlasting love, I can't believe it because I'm not lovable according to my own standards. So that's the only thing. This is sometimes as simple as that. The wisdom is, no, like, I don't forgive. Why? God forgive them, so I should. And if I place myself above God, then I don't forgive. All these simple truths is also, like, very clear to me. It shows how the lack of wisdom impacts our daily life. I believe that the Bible says God loves me, but I don't believe that God loves me all the time. You know, mm-hmm. and that discrepancy between what I believe to be possible and what God says is true. It's exactly what you said in 2 Timothy 3. I will ever be learning without actually getting to the knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
So I can rationalize why. I believe, yeah, God can love me in some instances. And mm-hmm. here we are discussing the Bible, whether or not this verse applies to me. Mm-hmm. And as it does, but I just don't believe it does, because I can't just achieve the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. I achieve some knowledge, but not God's truth.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about spiritual things only being able to be discerned by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And I would say, if we're trying to learn knowledge, take in knowledge, and apply it in wisdom, that if we don't actually first know Christ, then we can never walk in wisdom the way that we're talking about it today. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wisdom has to be rooted in your relationship in Jesus Christ. That's why Proverbs 1:7, I think it's Proverbs 9:10, maybe another one in Proverbs 16, all talk about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. And then in Proverbs 16, it's like the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the end of the matter is this: fear the Lord.
Yes.
Like, it always has to start with that relationship. And that word fear, for those of you who are thrown off by it, because it's very common, this is a really great word in the Bible. And this is talking about having reverence for God, mm-hmm. being in a relationship with Him. We are made to be in a relationship with God and ask Him for wisdom. That's a really good question, mm-hmm. I think. We are interacting with knowledge on a daily basis.
Yes.
We are trying to grow, learn, increase our capacities. How do we go about acquiring wisdom, mm-hmm. going from knowledge to wisdom? What do we have an answer for that, biblically or otherwise?
Yeah, I mean, well, yes. I think we said earlier we could read Proverbs 9, you know, verse 10. You know,
okay.
Right? There's other verses that say the same thing. But I like the idea. We could start with the first six verses also, the book of Proverbs, at some point. But this is what 9:10 says, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, so your question really is, like, I think a lot of people, we ask the same question. How do we get from knowing, because it's funny how, I don't know if you feel this way sometimes, but the amount of things I know about the Bible, about God, about theology, and the amount of things that I actually believe on the daily basis that I actually, it's the gap is huge. Mm-hmm. Like I'm thinking, so we're not talking about being this super Christian, like everything you know for a fact you actually experience. You know, we're in the fallen world. We have our flesh. We have our natural desires. We have our contention with God's, you know, and we're our differences. We don't agree. You know, sometimes we look at the Bible and say, I don't know how I can leave this. So the amount of things we know, the amount of things we experience, or we actually obey, sometimes it's the gap is, at least in my life, it's huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, you know, so to answer the question, how do we go from what we know to actually, you know, and I would say maybe one word is obedience, but obedience comes from humility. I need to be humble before God. I can realize, okay, just like if you and I have a disagreement, we talk about things, you know, at some point, you know, can I give you the room, you know, whether it's friendship conversations or work-related or whatever, can I give you the room to be right? And that's one thing that as human beings, we don't do well is being humble, you know, and then we do the same with God. You know, we do the same with God. And I think that's one of the issues that we have. Like, we look at the word and we debate whether or not we agree with it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus commended, you know, to his disciples, the simplicity of the faith of a child. And doesn't mean that you have these, you know, people, oh, you're telling me I need to be stupid. Not at all. I just need to realize that there is more to what I know, which is that wisdom from above. And just like I just said, you know, like earlier, like the only reason for me that miracles make sense because God exists.
Right.
Yeah. So if he created the world, he knows the rule. He knows how to bend the rules.
Yes.
So it's very simple. Like, can you debate that simple, you know, logical? No, you can't.
Yeah.
Whether you don't agree that God exists, it doesn't make any difference. If God exists, then the miracles become possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about that this morning. I was responding to like a discussion post in one of my classes about the ecological interconnectivity of the world with humanity.
Yes.
Very, very interesting topic. But I was thinking about the miracles that take place between Moses and Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And you don't always call them miracles, but they're miracles. Even though they're plagues, they're miracles. Like Moses sticks his staff into the water, mm-hmm. and the Nile turns to blood. Like, how does that happen mm-hmm. unless God is in control of that?
Yeah.
Moses sticks his arms up into the air and the Red Sea is parted.
Yes.
How does that happen? Mm-hmm. Moses strikes a rock and water comes out of the rock.
Yep.
This doesn't happen without God being present, without his wisdom, like overshadowing man's wisdom. How does Peter walk on water mm-hmm. in Matthew? Is it chapter 14? Mm-hmm. Maybe 8 or 14. I don't know. How does Peter walk on water? How does Jesus come walking on the waves to him? It's mm-hmm. like, this is beyond our understanding. This is beyond the knowledge that we're capable of having, but it is not outside the realm of possibility because it's from God.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, I don't know, there's an important thing there. So when we are lacking in knowledge or specifically in wisdom and being able to apply what we can from the knowledge that we have or take it beyond our own knowledge mm-hmm. and go to someplace different, the Bible tells us to ask for it. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask for it, because God will give it liberally, freely. He does not withhold it. Every good and perfect gift, James chapter 1, verse 17, is from above. Wisdom is a perfect gift. Just ask Solomon in 1 Kings, maybe chapter 3, or 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Solomon knows how perfect of a gift wisdom is. And then you see the corruption of man take wisdom and turn it into something else. And you see Solomon's life deteriorate, even though he's the wisest man in all the world. But it doesn't stop us from being able to ask God for wisdom. It doesn't stop us from being able to operate by faith and go outside of what we understand into what we believe. That does take a lot of critical thinking. That does take a lot of like weighing the options mm-hmm. before you decide to take that step of faith. There's a lot of doubt involved.
Yes.
But there's still this amazing thing that takes place
yes.
when we trust God and when we step in faith.
I like the idea of you thinking about Solomon for a moment, because he's the champion of wisdom in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at his life, thinking, man, this guy is like actually the worst, you know, in making decisions in his life. Like he went with idolatry because he married so many women and he didn't have enough wives. Yeah, he had 700 and then he had 300 concubines. And thinking, what is wrong with this dude? And the point being is that the actual wisdom from above is not something that you and I gain. We have it if we think with God. If I don't think with God, then I lose it. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I could be the wisest man on the planet, but if I don't think with God, then I'm not the wisest man on the planet. Mm-hmm. Salem is a perfect, case example of that. So we're not saying that once you get wisdom, you have it. It's like, no, it's like if I don't think with God, I resort to my natural resources, which is, I think, natural thoughts. And then, I'm in a mess again. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about, Solomon married, who was it? Pharaoh's daughter initially.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought, well, this worked out really well. this brought our countries together. Mm-hmm. This kept peace. So I'm going to duplicate this over and over and over again until he's got what? 1,000 is it 700?
700 wives and 300 concubines.
Okay, 1,000 total.
Yes,
1,000. I was going to go way beyond that. I was going like 700.
Let's throw numbers out there.
Yeah, let's just throw these random numbers. Elizabeth writes in with a question. She asks this: when God gives a believer specific instructions, and this believer chooses not to obey him, can the results be disastrous for getting to know God, and from knowing truth? Do you want to take a crack at that, or would you like?
It's not always disastrous. I mean, it depends what you call disastrous.
Yes.
I think God is graceful, so it's not like God is not the moody type of, oh, you don't want to listen to me, then bam, as we can be as adults, okay, you slap somebody in the face, say you know me, go away, and then God is not this way. So, like the disaster that maybe you're thinking about is like, okay, yes, the Bible just says 1 John 5:17 that there's a sin that leads us unto physical death. So yes, can someone who God chastises according to Hebrews 12 can end up being dead, which is disastrous? But I think it's according to the Bible, it's really the last resort. God's mind, when it comes down to us living outside of wisdom or living in our flesh, it's restoration is the goal of any discipline. So I don't see God, I don't see God use a disaster as the first resort of him, disciplining a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, disobedience, like if I know the truth and I do not walk in it, and sometimes I walk in the opposite, yes, I will suffer the consequences of my decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not because God wants to punish me, it's just because some decisions I'm making are stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm making a lot of stupid decisions in a row, I'll be in trouble,
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. So yes, there is room for that, let's spin this around in a positive way.
Okay.
Pastor Schaller, the pastor of our church, for those who are not maybe from Greater Grace, but he asked the question sometimes. I heard it say a couple of times. Okay, so people say, well, what? You don't drink? You don't do this? Yeah. And then he asked the questions one that, maybe ask it, what did I lose? Tell me. Tell me, what do you have as a non-Christian in this world that I don't have? Well, I go out with my friend. We get drunk. We're having a good time. I'm having a good time without the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't believe you. Well, because you don't think it's fun, but it is fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. So it's more like a positive idea. Instead of looking at the disastrous potentially, I can look at things and say, man, look at all these blessings that God is actually laying in front of me because I made the decision to walk in wisdom.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Thank you.
One other thing I would say to address that question, Elizabeth, is none of our decision-making negates the fact that God works all things together for good.
Yes.
Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for those that love him. And what does it say? Walk according to the Spirit. Let me read it real quick. Romans chapter 8. I'm using a Bible I have not used since like the second year of Bible college here. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There's nothing we can do that will thwart God from his ultimate plan. God is all-knowing. He is all-present. He is all-powerful. And he knows the beginning from the end. So this can be a really sticky topic, and I don't mean for it to be, but he knows our decisions before we make them. If he's operating in omniscience, mm-hmm. he can know every decision we would make to every circumstance that comes up in our life. That doesn't negate our freedom to make those decisions. We could have 1,000 different possible routes we could take, and he would know where every single one of those routes would lead, and he's still waiting for us to make a decision, and that's still part of his grand master plan that no one can thwart. No one can take away. That's the idea of God's sovereignty, is that he's ultimately in control of this thing called life, of the universe. He's the creator of it. What can the clay say to the potter? Like, there's nothing. We can disobey, and it can hurt us in the interim, specifically our relationship with God, mm-hmm. and we will feel that. We will feel a disconnection of fellowship with him, but he is not disconnected from us. We are like turning away from him in our disobedience.
Yeah.
And whenever we confess, whenever we seek his mercy, whenever we repent, we turn, then we're right back to where we were, and we're in the same fellowship that we were in, and there's nothing held against us. So it really just depends on what kind of decision we're talking about that a person makes that would go completely against what God has said to him. Him or her, but just some more thoughts on that.
Yeah, maybe I can add a little more. On I think in a way it sounds amazing because it doesn't sound. I mean, it sounds too good to be true. But some, and we say, oh, when it sounds too good to be true, usually it is. Not with God. You look at Luke 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, which is the lost son, really. Mm-hmm. And you could ask, is there any loss in his life that because of his decision? No, there's not only there's no loss in his life, but when you look at his restoration, it's almost like it's a gain.
Yeah.
So there is many things we could say about it, and we don't have the time to go into details. But when I read it and I studied through and went through a lot of commentaries, also to get research as historical and cultural backgrounds, what you find is, number one, he's got shoes, so he's back to be a son, which is one thing that distinguished at the time, the servants and the sons. So he's coming back barefoot, and so no, you won't, because he wanted to be back as a servant. So mm-hmm. that's not going to happen. Here are the shoes. Mm-hmm. He's been given the ring. The ring is actually the seal of most likely that's what people say, the seal of the family, which allows you to buy and make purchases. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy just left with the money, mm-hmm. and then you go back. Not only you don't have your money, but you have mine now.
Yeah.
And the robe, which is actually technically the first robe, which is the robe that he would have had if he would have stayed in the house, so there's no loss in returning to God. Absolutely no. There's loss in between mm-hmm. as we suffer the consequences. But mm-hmm. that's the idea of wisdom. Like, mm-hmm. okay, the wisdom is something positive that God wants. Okay, you walk in it, you know the truth, you walk in wisdom. And the lack of it, which is the wisdom from above that competes with it, that's what gets us into trouble.
Yeah.
Oftentimes,
failure is one of the best teachers of wisdom that you can ever sit under. You fail, you disobey, you go the opposite way, like the lost son. He just goes his own way, does his own thing. He spends all of his substance. Mm-hmm. Everything that his father gave him is gone. Mm-hmm. But his failure, although his mindset wasn't completely correct in coming back, God could use it mm-hmm. to say, no, you are completely restored, 100%. Here's everything that was ever yours to begin with, and none of it is taken away from you.
Yes.
Failure can really show us the graciousness and goodness of God. There's two types of repentance that Paul talks about, one in Romans and one in Corinthians, and he says the goodness of God can lead us to repentance.
Yes.
And there's a moment where the lost son repents, like in a godly sorrow type of way, which is what Paul talks about with the Corinthians. And he's like, oh, I could be a servant. I could go back there. God, my father has something for me there. But then the moment, the robe is thrown on him and the sandals and the ring and all, and the fatted calf is killed from him. It's like, wow, the goodness of God. Yeah. I'm never leaving this place again.
Yes.
Like, this is an amazing thing that God does.
Yeah.
1 Peter 5:10, he's the God of all grace.
Yeah. I'm looking at some of the comments, and I think what Tess is writing, something interesting. And we could go back to that for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. Thanks be to God for His holy word, and that is preserved for the time that nurtures, heals us, and gives us wisdom and good judgment. Mm. It goes back to James 1:5, and I think it's a big it's a big deal about wisdom, because it could sound sometimes because the Bible says with all you have get wisdom, and you have the idea of getting wisdom, But the Bible tells us we ask for wisdom most likely. So it's our way of getting wisdom, and which goes back, because everything we know and we hear and we discover in the Bible can be understood in both ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is I got to do something about it and I end up with a program that puts me into a legalistic mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can lean on God, and that's what I like about the leaning on the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah,
I can ask for wisdom, James 1:5.
Yes,
and I will get it.
Yeah,
you know, that's the point. So I mean, let me read the verse, because sure. I think it's I'm going to destroy it again, and I don't want to do that. James 1:5. Let's read it with a French accent. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he shall not be and it shall be given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's a promise. Like if I ask for wisdom, I will get it. So it's and. We know in 1 Corinthians 1 and the places in Corinthians that Paul makes the point of the Holy Spirit is the only one that can understand the things of God.
Yeah.
So no wonder I doubt about things. No wonder I don't understand them, because I need the Holy Spirit. So I think it's a really good point to make, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we appreciate your participation today. A lot of great comments. Elizabeth, thank you for writing in. Aretta, thank you for writing in. We had a few verses mentioned earlier by a gentleman. I looked into those verses. I'm not quite sure where you were going with that, but thank you for putting the verses in the chat.
Yes.
We always appreciate people pointing to the Bible. Maybe we can end with those starting verses of Proverbs that
yes.
you were talking about.
Yes, let's go.
So I'll read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just maybe ask this question underlying, like, is the pursuit of wisdom a good thing? So here's what the book of Proverbs
yes.
has to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that introduction of, you know, the Book of Wisdom, the very first thought is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it say? But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Yeah.
Yeah. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God
yes.
or no God.
Sinful.
And what do you think when you read those first six verses of Proverbs? Is the pursuit of wisdom a good thing?
Yes, it is. And
yeah.
and actually, the Bible I'm reading from titles that paragraph, The Value of Proverbs.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, if you read Proverbs, Psalms, and all the poetic, you know, mostly Psalm and Ecclesiastes will give you a lot of simple wisdom, things you can learn in one sentence. They're not necessarily need to be, there's no context, they are maxims put together, it's not like there's, you know, but then, you know, it's amazing how they're rich, and there's a lot loaded in every verse, and that's exactly what you know, that the things that Solomon learned, and he's putting this intro over here, and he's telling us why it's valuable for us to take the time to learn wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's many, you know, he knows, like, he uses the words here, to know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding,
mm-hmm.
to receive, so it's a big word, the instructions of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I put it on my notes earlier when we're thinking about that, the correction and accountability are key to get wisdom. Like, if I don't have in my life the humility to be corrected and humility also to be accountable to people,
mm-hmm.
then I would not see another perspective on things, and I won't be able to. I find it amazing when we have friendships and people in the church and fellowship and the messages and the meditation, how many things I can learn that are outside of my capacity of thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the wisdom. Okay, oh, wow, this is good. I'm going to take that and live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask God, lean on God for him to implement that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And seeking wisdom and asking for wisdom, these are very, very fundamental in the Christian life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a minute and a half left, roughly,
mm-hmm.
maybe. Hey, if you are looking for wisdom and you do not have a relationship with God, first we ask, come to God, please.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Jesus Christ. Get to know him as your Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him to be your Savior. And watch wisdom be imparted to you in your life. A lot of times, if you don't go to church and you enter a church service and you listen with an open mind, you might find that the thoughts given by the preacher or the pulpit are much different than the thoughts you've been thinking. And a lot of times, those thoughts can help lead you into wisdom, lead you out of the way of misunderstanding or disobedience and into the way of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So these are like really great things that can happen in your life. finding out who Jesus Christ is as your Savior, being able to go to church by choice and enjoying it and listening, even if you don't always agree with what's being said, listening and trying to take it in and apply it and check it with the Bible. Any last thoughts?
No, I think it's. I think yes. I mean, as I said, correction and accountability. Like if you know, I think the first thing you said was okay. If you're not a Christian, then you need to turn to God because this is an amazing way of thinking. All of a sudden, you realize, okay, I was made for this. That God, you know, and also as Christians, like we need to, you know, let's go with our meditation. Let's go to church. Let's listen. Let's be accountable. And because, you know, we even in the world, we understand, you know, somebody's in trouble, so well, you need the objectivity over here, and somebody comes in and gives you an outside, you know. And we do that in business, we do that in the issues, and that's exactly what we have. We have the word that is objective, we have fellowship, we have the, you know, meditation, we have the messages, we have God's thoughts, and that's the key. The wisdom is something very serious in that way, like, yeah. So.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Cool. All right. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, even on Facebook. I think you can get a notification when we start, or Spotify and more. Be sure to join us for our next show as we continue to talk about wisdom throughout the week. Thank you and God bless you.